This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Colin, let's say that an organization is going through change for a variety of reasons. What should our expectations be when our organization goes through these kind of changes? And what should the organization be looking for from us?
Initially, the organization needs to be helping others apply their wisdom, even in the decision for change. So it's very helpful if we get maximum buy-in, if you like. I don't mean by that we should manipulate and sell it to people. But we should talk about the reason we think change is required. I'm, you know, recently talked about future studies in organizations so right. that we have people who are looking out there at the trends so that we're not caught off guard as organizations by what's coming down the road.
Right.
And if we can do that, then we can talk at organizational level about what we see and what that would tend to suggest. And so, for example, in terms of the mission world, career missionaries, we can see that the term career missionary is going to go out of vogue because the postmodern idiom is these short-term bursts of life bites that's going to have a dynamic effect. Well, actually, if we know that that's happening, we can prepare for that
right.
by discussing what our response would be. And doing that in a way that, as leaders, we don't assume that everybody else is stupid and that we're the wise ones, but actually to bring up these conversations and invite comment from our teams, because our teams are actually filled with wisdom. And so, you know, I use the term mining the corporate wisdom.
Right.
And if we mine the corporate wisdom in times of change, we've got a lot more exposure to the information taking place across the organization. People have a greater level of understanding. People are more prepared for what's coming. They feel empowered. They feel motivated and part of the process.
I think about the person who's doing their Christian work, wherever they may be, and they're seeing every day the little changes that take place. And they're looking at maybe ways they're going to have to adapt. And so what you're saying sounds common sense to me, that we would look to our people who are out there, wherever out there may be, and ask them, what is happening, you know, in your part of the world when it comes to how you share Jesus Christ with other people, with how you do your work? But that doesn't seem to happen very often.
I think we're talking about leaders as change agents when we talk like this. And I think that leaders have not been trained to be change agents. And so we have a lot of well-meaning people doing the best that they can do, but because they've not been helped to understand the dynamics of change and what that does to the human being, they do their best. They want to serve the Lord as best they can. They do their best. But frankly, their best isn't good enough because it's uninformed best.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I think we need to do is help our leaders to understand the dynamics of change and how to be change agents. And to be a change agent doesn't mean I persuade everybody to move around to my own point of view, but I help people to grasp what is happening, what's liable to happen, and how right. we can adjust to it.
As the leader, maybe it's a particular region, maybe it's not necessarily the leader of an entire Christian organization, but how should I, as a leader, go about seeking out this kind of information, particularly if it's never been asked before? And I'm listening to this and I'm saying, you know what, that's a pretty good idea that Colin just came up with. I think I'd like to do that, but I'm not sure they're going to buy it whenever I ask them for their opinion. How would you suggest that we go about this?
Oh, it's a good question. There are groups and there are some represented on the internet that engage in future studies. And like anything else on the internet, there's a bit of a minefield there. So we would need to be fairly comfortable with the source. By that, I don't mean look for the people that are saying what I would like to hear.
Right.
But look for the people who are coming from a solid platform and a solid philosophical background. And read what they're saying. Actually, I can take more notice of the news, and I can take more notice of innovation. I can be more in touch with world trends. I can read some of the authors like Thomas Friedman and his book, I think it's called The World is Flat, where he's demonstrating some of the dynamics that are both present and future. And we can, you know, if we're on our own somewhere, we can begin to get an understanding of what's going on there. Because one of the best things to do is to form a future studies group within an organization who develop the skills to look and start to bring people in from the outside who have honed those skills to help to facilitate our thinking until we can actually develop those skills for ourselves.
When I shift the focus back to the Christian worker, and now I have to admit, I am one of these guys that likes change. I've been on a number of different locations and I find each one of them fascinating and fun. And I'm just now coming to a point, you know, at nearly 50 where I'm going, maybe I'd like to slow down a little bit. But a lot of people aren't like that. And when they're hearing the organization saying, you know what, folks, we're getting ready to go through a change. As you've said earlier, there is a need for security. But I'm thinking about that Christian worker who's very fearful. What kind of questions can they be asking the organization? What should their expectation be? Because they want to know if they are still going to be needed by their organization on the other side of this change. And how do we work through that?
Well, it's a deep question. I think I say it's a deep question because my experience has shown me that a lot of people aren't secure in those organizations. And so we're constantly hearing of organizations, even Christian organizations, who will release people at a moment's notice and thrust them into a very insecure period where they never thought they would be.
Right.
And so it's the mature organization that allow, I don't mean mature in terms of old, I mean in terms of people thinking, people consciousness, that those organizations will entertain those kind of questions. And even if they don't know, it's better to say to somebody, we don't know what the future's going to look like. Here are the possibilities. Than actually try and what I would call pull the wool over their eyes and say, well, don't worry. Trust the Lord. There's nothing wrong with trusting the Lord, of course, but that really is just ducking the issue. And I think it's an honest leader and an honest organization that says, we're moving into uncharted waters. We don't know what the future's going to look like. We're going to stick together. We're going to stay together. We're going to do what needs to be done. But of course, it could mean in the end, and it lays out a few possible scenarios, which could mean that some of us can no longer work in this organization. I think that's happening at a commercial level, a corporate level, all the time.
Right.
But unfortunately, they're not always handling it well, and so people are being left high and dry and terribly abused. When a company could see that their financial future was rocky, they didn't make preparations for what could be the inevitable.
Right.
They just left it as if they're sticking their head in the sand and hoping for the best. I don't think we should just hope for the best. I think we should work for the best.
Yeah.
And when it's about people, we should give them the best, even if it might mean their future will be uncertain. Let's have those conversations in a warm and honest fashion.
One thing I remember was when the one location I was at was downsizing, and it was due to technology. we didn't need as many people to do the work that had been done previously. And one couple that was going to be eliminated from their task, one couple whose job was no longer needed, were just, they were blown away by it. And I was very thankful that Transworld Radio worked with them and was able to help them get into another organization where this couple were able to use their skills in much the same way that they had done for Transworld Radio with another organization. And when I read their prayer letters today, I read of a couple who had to absorb an awful lot of change, got moved to the other side of the world, and yet, you know, 5 years later, are thriving. And it's clear from their letters. Their son graduated from the local high school where he was attending. And so I know that not all stories have that kind of a happy ending, but, you know, I think about it. At the time, they were just devastated by the change that was about to occur. There was a loss of identity. There was almost a feeling of betrayal because they had planned on being with TWR for the rest of their career. And all of a sudden that changed. And yet, as an organization, Transworld Radio helped them through it. And I think they grew through it, but that's a story that did have a happy ending.
Sure. I think there's a couple of things we can do in those circumstances. One is about what I call the locus of security. Where is my security? Is it in the organization? And actually, I think the answer to that often is yes, because I've not learned perhaps to get security from my faith. There's almost a disjointed dynamic of faith that is quite common where I know in my head that I'm a son or daughter of the King, but actually it doesn't make its way to my everyday. So I think organizations can help to encourage people with their locus of security to actually place that in God. And of course, right now, with the rate of change, that's a very good thing to do because nobody can be quite sure of the longevity of an organization. That's one thing we can do. The other thing we can do is what I call career path planning, where, which sounds crazy in the light of the postmodern dynamic we've talked about, but it's looking at helping people to look at, well, what are their career anchors? We have an inventory called the Career Anchor Inventory, so that they know that whatever they go ahead and do from now on, those dynamics will need to be there. Otherwise, they're never really going to quite find joy in what it is that they're doing. Well, once we've helped them with that career anchor, we can then help through our HR departments to relocate. If we downsize, there's two ways of doing that, isn't there? One, chop it out so that people just are left high and dry. Right. Or plan for downsizing by helping to relocate people according to their career anchor. Who are you? Where would you best serve? Let's help you do that.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.